if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Indeed, we're on the street and we're on the air. You're listening to Kaya Biz with myself, Gugulethu Mfuphi. It's just after 7:15, and tonight we're taking a look at a deep topic. One that makes sense for any organization, regardless of the size, scale, influence, aptitude, level of innovation. Leadership is important in any structure. But succession planning is even more important, because once a company is trying to evolve, is trying to build, is trying to be a lot more innovative, and even if a company or organization might already have structures and procedures in place that are efficient for their operational capacity, what you do need to do is to ensure that there's continuity in terms of leadership. That speaks to succession planning. But according to a global report, it actually asks, are we ready for the next leadership transition? And what does that look like? Well, tonight we're going to reflect on a few of the findings that have been shared by a large number of firms who collaborated to publish a global white paper called Securing the Future, essentially highlighting that the global readiness gap is not sufficient and only one in four companies are adequately prepared. To tell us more, we're joined by Wendy Spalding, Managing Director for Tuesday Consulting. Wendy, welcome to the show. Great to have you here on Kaya Biz.
Good evening, Gugulethu, and very great thanks for inviting me on to Kaya Biz.
Excited to speak to you, especially on such a pertinent theme, right? And I say this because we as South Africans have been able to witness a few shifts in the leadership space in banking in South Africa, whether it's a new CEO who has real skin in the game being appointed to the leadership and helm of Tyme Bank, whether it's the change in organizational structures for men like the leader and CEO of APSA, and even seeing a few other shifts in various organizations. But maybe let's contextualize this particular white paper and why it does take a look at succession planning and how ready organizations are for this dynamic.
Thanks, Gugulethu. I think that Tuesday Consulting, as a member of Agilium Worldwide, was really curious, obviously driven by the work that we do, to understand how global organizations are tackling that challenge. And you're quite right. In the local market, there has been specific CEO changes in recent months. And we were curious to see the crucial driver of medium to long-term business success and continuity. And it does clearly state in our white paper that this is critical, yet it is still one of the most challenging aspects of confronting modern-day business.
And I think there's clearly a lot of themes that actually impact the level of preparedness and the challenges there. And maybe let's deep dive into some of these numbers, right? Because one of the key headlines that popped out to me was the fact that 83% of companies have formal succession plans, but 25% of them are ready for unplanned leadership changes. So help us contextualize, what does that mean? So that there's a plan in place, they're ready for them, but there's some level of apprehension.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting data point that came out of the white paper. So basically, in many organizations, succession planning is happening, but it has become one of those tick box exercises that is either done annually or in some instances over even longer periods of time. The challenge is that leadership continuity isn't about process, it's about preparedness. And so I think what this white paper is showing us is there's a gap from doing it on paper and moving it into practice. And that's something that we really want to help organizations with, is move beyond static planning to actually living these readiness frameworks that actually work when leadership disruption hits.
And isn't that also the challenge, right? Because leadership disruption can look different. Whether it's a CEO just abruptly exiting to go to a competing company, we know death is a reality of life. And in some circumstances, abruptly can happen over 3 years, where a leader does say, well, I will be exiting. And perhaps due to just inefficient planning, the organization is still not ready to let go of that particular leader. How do we get that right?
It's a good question, and I think the answer is very nuanced. I think a lot of organizations, you know, if they're aware that a leader is going to depart within, let's say, a 2 to 3 year timeline, I do think a lot of organizations are getting that right. And that's where the current theme of succession planning is really focused upon, The challenge is, to your point, if a leader resigns without any notice or prior engagement with the organization, or, you know, in very unusual circumstances, a death, the organizations that we interviewed, and we interviewed organizations across North America, South America, Asia, Europe, Africa, so it was far spread. Those organizations are not ready for the leadership transitions that come unexpectedly. And I think real readiness implies that a succession plan in place is well prepared, whether it's planned or not. And therefore, organizations need to really start thinking about the risk factors that are associated with unplanned resignations and changes.
And maybe let's deep dive into those particular risk changes and risk factors that speak to those changes even further. Are you seeing organizations, and maybe I guess the question is, what are the organizations who are doing this right doing that can be a lesson to those who still need to catch up?
Yeah, I think that is a good way to focus, is on best practices and learning. So I think initiating succession planning early is really, really important. So the organizations that are getting it right are really thinking sort of 3 to 5 years ahead. It's very future oriented. They review succession plans frequently. We were quite startled by the data which showed that, yes, some organizations are doing it annually, every 3 years, some not at all. But the reality is it needs to be a living exercise. This is something that I would propose, and our research suggests, should be engaged at board level and with relevant stakeholders on a quarterly basis. So it needs to be deliberate and systematic. Obviously, you have to embed governance into the process. I think what the organizations that are doing it well are developing multiple succession plans. In other words, they have a scenario for emergency successors. They have a scenario for ready now successes, future ready successes, and they are actively developing internal talent to make sure that in whichever period of time there is a pipeline of multiple successes, not one individual, but multiple successes that can take on these CEO or executive roles ultimately. And they're also engaging with external partners like Tuesday Consulting in order to make sure that the view and the lens that they have on potential succession plans is not just internal, it's actually benchmarked for external suitability as well.
100%. Wendy, I'll tell you what, there's so much to deep dive into in this particular report, and I do want us to come back just to share some feedback on the insights that you're sharing with us, and most importantly, some aspects we need to be mindful of. So we're going to take a quick breather just to make sure that we keep our lights on so that there can be succession planning, Kaya. And then come back just to share some of the closing remarks that you have for us. But stay with us. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. We'll continue our conversation with Wendy Spalding, Managing Director of Tuesday Consulting, helping us understand how corporate companies, organizations, various structures and firms are trying to make sure that they close the gap on global readiness for succession planning.
Stay Kaya.
At Kaya on 959.
Let me take a selfie.
On Instagram.
It is 26 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Well, over the last few minutes, we've been speaking to Wendy Spalding, Managing Director of Tuesday Consulting. Tuesday Consulting has been working in collaboration with member firms from the Agilium Worldwide Executive Search Group. So this is global research. It spans over 33 countries. And what the institution has found is that essentially succession planning, making sure that when your boss leaves, there's another boss and another boss and sufficient leadership in the organization. Yes, companies are prepared for it, but not adapting adequately. And there's still a bit of a shortfall. So it does seem as though there are some suggestions and recommendations as to how to ensure that adequate succession planning is prioritized and the gap between succession plans and leadership changes actually does close. Wendy Spalding, Managing Director of Tuesday Consulting. Wendy, perhaps let's pick up on some of the themes that we had discussed earlier. And what you described is that companies, yes, have a formal succession plan. They eye out the organogram, identify some of the talent. But what happens to be the rug being pulled from under their feet is unplanned leadership changes for various reasons, but it's a reality as to how it happens. We've commented on trying to close that particular gap. We've highlighted that companies do try to review these particular plans every 3 years. Another key theme is making sure that leadership is future fit for any adaptations and agility that might be required in the spaces that they lead. But one thing often comes to mind, and I think some of you know, there are a few banks and institutions, and I'm typically referring to the banks because I think they've done this incredibly well, where institutions have been able to earmark talent internally, and for years on end, they allow them to develop, to grow, and to lead at some point. Talk to us about the importance in developing internal talent and what that looks like. You know, who's getting it right? What do they do right? And what are the lessons from that?
A great question, Guguletu. And I support you fully. I do think that South African banks specifically have to a large extent shown that they can get it right. I think that, you know, the reality is that to be future fit, organizations need to plan for disruption. They need to plan for the unexpected. And so therefore, in order to get the development right, the development of the people right and the future leaders right, they are doing this expansively. So as I said, and I mentioned, it's not just one successor, it's multiple successors. I think that organizations that are doing it right are showing a lot of internal talent mobility, whether that means sending successors into different geographies or different business units, or even partnering with other organizations. We've seen a lot of success with leadership immersions, where future talent actually gets to go and spend time with best practice organizations in their industry. We've seen some successful mentorship programs and obviously executive coaching programs that are in place. So I don't think it's a one size fits all approach. I do think it's multifaceted. I think that psychometric assessments have come into play as a key determining factor of high potential talent and looking at how to close those gaps through either formal programs and formal education or even informal programs. I mean, you spoke about technology a little bit earlier in your show. I think that technology has taken on a whole new realm in learning and development and leadership development.
100%. And I think you raise such an important point. And we keep referring to the banks because I think that's one of the most practical examples that we've seen being fleshed out in South Africa. Just how Sim Shabalala mentioning that he plans to exit by the end of 2027. Mm. And right now there's a very clear search for a new CEO for Standard Bank. And there's some significant contenders already within the organization itself. Many referencing the leaders of either CIB or personal and business banking and many other contenders from an operational point of view. And then you also take a look at a bank like Nedbank, after Mike Brown was at the helm for more than 10 years, went and took on a competitor, a leader who had been at APSA, actually, to ensure that they could actually lead there. And not only that, APSA itself found itself with a dearth and a lack of adequate leadership at the time. And they took on Kenny Fihla, who was CEO of the Africa division and earmarked to be the CEO for the South African division at Standard Bank. And he moved on to APSA. So it's such an interesting array of movements, right, as to how a business does adequately plan for it. But I guess to close off with, you know, this is really an example for big business, but KayaBiz, we also have a strong audience of entrepreneurs who listen in on the show. And I'm quite keen to understand if there's any leadership lessons that we can learn from this and implement into small and medium-sized businesses. And I can imagine sometimes it becomes a lot more intricate because founder-led businesses, there's emotion, right? There's an attachment to say, this idea is my baby. I've worked so hard for it. This is the vision I have. So for me to walk away from it, the plan and the goal essentially dies. But it doesn't always have to be that way. So are there some lessons that small and medium-sized businesses can actually learn from big corporates when it comes to succession planning on the back of your report?
Absolutely. And I think what you've pointed out is actually did come out in the report. So we showed some cross-border commonalities in succession planning. And the challenge for small, private and family-owned businesses was common across all geographies, they do often struggle the most in terms of CEO and executive succession planning. And I think they experience the greatest challenges in sourcing executive talent and, more importantly, developing the robust internal talent pipelines. So the one lesson and recommendation I would share with you is, no matter how small your business is, you need to be thinking about who's next. So thinking beyond, you know, beyond yourself as the CEO, beyond yourself as the owner or entrepreneur, to actually acknowledging that there needs to be a next. I think also for companies with private equity investors, which are sometimes also in the SME space, a limitation to securing executive talent can sometimes be the private equity model itself, with its cycles of investing and exiting from businesses. So I think the small private family-owned businesses also need to show a level of stability, a level of sustainability, and a level of continuity in order to attract and retain the next leader. But the big thing that I would say is, think about it now. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until you've decided to exit or retire. Start thinking about it now. It's a critical, proactive, pre-planned exercise.
100%. It's so critical. I can imagine, I can just see the faces of many entrepreneurs cringing and saying, but hold on, I've got a few more years in me. I've got a few more strategies to implement, more innovation to unlock. Wendy, such a pleasure speaking to you, and appreciate your time tonight, ma'am.
Absolute pleasure, Guguleta. Take care.
Thank you. That's Wendy Spalding, Managing Director of Tuesday Consulting. They led a global paper called Securing the Future. Now, one of the member firms working in collaboration with member firms from the Agilium Worldwide Executive Search Group, helping us contextualize the network of executive searching, right? So when companies are out there looking for CEOs, you get to see the great opportunities that other businesses are implementing when it comes to adequate succession planning.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.